Facebook.com. You'll be glad you did. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. We're going to start with a couple of things we haven't talked about on the Paracast. First, of course, is the fact that we have a weekly newsletter. You go to newslettertheparacast.com, newsletterthepowercast.com. You sign up and you get this newsletter every week, and we give you the current show schedule. Sometimes we know about future shows, not always. And I have a weekly commentary, so if you want to know what I think outside of the show, that's where you'll find it. Sometimes we have guest editorials. That's newsletter.thepowercast.com. We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com. And I would be remiss in selling anything if we didn't let Chris sell a few things. What do you got to sell, Chris?
Well, we have the Disclosure Dialogues film has been accepted at the Evie Awards for the film festival at the UFO Congress this year. And we're going to have a viewing of it, and hopefully we'll do well. There's quite a bit of competition, but we feel that we have probably the best treatment of the disclosure subject that I've seen and heard of on DVD. So, of course, you can get that from OurStrangePlanet.com and check for the banner at theparacast.com.
Okay, and this is really professional stuff. I've seen some of it. I haven't seen all the DVDs, but I've seen some of them. Professional video production, of which, of course, Chris is a part. Not this amateur stuff taken with a mobile phone or something. This is really heavy-duty stuff. Really is.
Well, it's a five DVD set. It was distilled down into a hard-hitting 60-minute documentary that's standalone that encapsulates the thinking of all the notables that are featured: Richard Dolan, George Norrie, Stanton Friedman, John Alexander, Nick Pope, Edgar Mitchell, Bassett. The list goes on and on and on and on. There's probably 20 different people there. I think it's a real good objective look at the subject, which I think a lot of our listeners know. I'm not too keen on the idea of the government ever disclosing anything related to the UFO question. I am one of the rare few dissenting voices in the project, but I thought that it was a good example of objective journalism to be able to sit down and go through 20 plus hours of dialogues between ufologists and pull out the salient points that really present the whole subject in a very concise manner.
Did any of this really change your mind?
No, it just solidified in my mind my thinking about the whole thing. How can you believe the government if they've been lying to you for 60 years, even if they did come forward and tell us the truth? I still stand behind that.
And how can you believe the government is competent if we've been told by all the politicians other than those who are currently in office that the government is incompetent, everyone who works for the government is incompetent, therefore, why believe them?
Exactly.
Speaking of trying to unearth the truth, I had an editorial this past week over at the Paracast newsletter. Remember, it's free. So if you subscribe, you're not paying anything for it. So it's not as if we're getting any money for it. So I'm writing that stuff, and nobody's paying me. But I had an article there about whether we can get people with money to fund UFO research. And I pointed out an interesting fact here. And I'll give you a comparison. There's an old application for doing digital artwork called Freehand. And they decided they objected to the discontinuance of this program. And it's complicated, and I won't get into it here. We've talked about it on the tech show, the Tech Night Owl Live. They were able to sign up within weeks 4,700 people, many of whom have given donations to try to fund efforts to bring back this program. Now we have the UFO mystery. Probably, if UFOs are real, the greatest mystery of our time. Contact with aliens, contact with people from other dimensions, an amazing mystery with amazing implications. But we have one of our premier UFO investigative outfits, Mutual UFO Network, can only get 2,700 people to join after being in business since the 1960s. What am I missing here, Chris?
Well, we're going the way of Amazon and publishing and iTunes and the music business. I think that we're seeing a slow shift from the old paradigm, pre-internet, to a new paradigm that doesn't include getting 70-somethings together in a big room, flying them in from all over the country, world, and having them sit in hard chairs in a conference hall. I think we're seeing the future of ufology shifting to the internet. And just to give you an example, I'll be on my first internet chat-based conference in early March. And I'll be one of the presenters at a virtual UFO convention, basically. And I think we're going to see more and more of this as we lose our, you know, 50s and 60s folks that got into this 30, 40, 50 years ago. The kids, I think, are more tech-savvy, and I think that they're going to be expecting the field of ufology to progress and morph into this new high-tech age. And, you know, we're right in a real crucial transition point right now in the field. And I think groups like MUFON, even though they do serve an investigative function, as far as an educational vehicle, I think their days are numbered.
Well, you know, I can see also what the problem is with MUFON. You look at the picture where they had a changeover of leadership to a new director from the previous director, and look like a 1960s Rotary Club meeting. And this is 2012. You can't run the organization like the Rotary Club in 1969. Sorry, you got to update. It's not just having a Facebook presence. It's not just a Twitter account. We have a Twitter account, the PowerCast. Okay, you got to know what to do with it. You've got to know how to get the young people involved, because if you get them involved, your membership will quadruple overnight. And they've got to figure out, I can't give them all the answers. I'm an old codger. Chris is a younger codger. But I think they need to get someone on their board who's 20-something and has grown up in the Facebook generation and can tell them how to make it work. That's what's going to happen. We'll get into more of that.
I agree.
Sure. Now, this week we've got a fascinating guest. I was reading this guy's background. I'm going to ask him about his history as a script doctor and technical advisor to such films as Logan's Run and Poltergeist. But tell us about Dr. Barry Taff.
Well, Barry Taff, I think, is one of our preeminent parapsychologists, field investigators. He's been in this field for 40 years. He has wide-ranging interests that that go beyond the actual parapsychological realm into the realm of hauntings, paranormal investigations, UFOs. And he's quite an engaging thinker, very open-minded, extremely grounded in real hard science. And this is such a pleasure to have someone with the credentials and with the background that Dr. Taff has. And this is going to be a fun show. I was on his show a couple of weeks back and just had a great time and thought he would make a great guest for the Paracast. He's very inspirational and very educational, and I think our listeners are really going to enjoy today's show.
If you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, write us news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news at theparacast.com. Dr. Barry Taff joining Gene and Chris. And as always, once and forever, you're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Steve Jobs, the best-selling authorized biography from Walter Isaacson. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast. You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We are joined by veteran parapsychologist Dr. Barry Taff, who has a new book out, by the way, called Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, Explorations of the Unknown. We're going to talk about that later. But looking at your vast biography, Dr. Taff, I noticed you were a technical advisor or script doctor for some very popular films. And I guess I'm going to ask you which function you served on them. And we'll go into this very briefly and get into the other stuff. Okay, Poltergeist. Now, I remember one thing from Poltergeist, other than Toby Hooper was director and was produced by Steven Spielberg, and that is a little girl looks at the TV set and says, "They're here."
Right.
Which I still use on my technology radio show.
Yeah.
They haven't come after me, so that's how it goes. What function did you serve on that film?
Well, first of all, before we get into specifics, when we were shooting The Entity, they were shooting Poltergeist at the same studio, on the same lot, at the same time. We were on one side of the little narrow row, they were on the other. They were seeing our dailies, and they redid the entire movie to make it look more like The Entity. Our film came out in 83, their film came out in 82. Now, I don't know what the original movie was, but what it turned into, as we all remember, is there's Beatrice Straight as the parapsychologist and two male associates, one black, one white guy. And the white guy was supposed to be me. Dark hair, glasses, and a ruddy complexion, whose face rots in the mirror, and one of the things gets bitten in the side and leaves the house. That character was supposed to be me. When the film was being made, I don't know if you remember this, in the movie there's a scene in the third act, I believe, where Jill Beth Williams, after she takes a bath, she's combing her hair on her bed, and then looks like somebody's going to rape her, and she's pushed up on the walls of the ceiling. Well, from what we heard, they shot a rape sequence with her. And they were obviously concerned that if they put that in the movie, that they'd be sued because it would have been an infringement on our movie. The film was totally fiction. They based the character, I forgot the particular character's name in Poltergeist, but the guy with the dark hair and the ruddy complexion with the glasses was supposed to be me.
So you lost out on that role.
Well, I'm not an actor. The whole point of it is we were pretty well known at the time, my colleague and I, and so they tailored Poltergeist to appear more like The Entity. It came out a year in advance of The Entity, and people thought it was The Entity. Then The Entity came out, and everyone, well, what's the difference? So, I mean, they interviewed us, the executives, not Spielberg, other people connected with the movie long before the movie was made, and then it was made, and they changed a lot of things. And so I was involved as a consultant, even though we didn't get our names on it.
Well, that's the way movies are. You know, you see a movie that has one plot or one idea, and by the time the thing gets released, you have the people playing with the script, and it becomes something else. And the more something else it becomes, the worse the movie is. Sometimes movies that seem to adhere to the original vision.
Well, it's like too many cooks spoil the broth because they all start adding different seasonings. And when you're done, you don't even know what you've got. And I saw a work print of Poltergeist before it came out. It had a screening at MGM in 82, and it was entertaining. It was very well made and a little silly, of course, and had almost nothing to do, except for the first act. Very little in the movie had anything to do with Poltergeist. It was a mishmash of everything and horror and fantasy and sci-fi, but it was well made. It was a good, entertaining movie, and I enjoyed it for what it was. It didn't scare me. I just thought it was a little over the top, but that's me.
Now, Logan's Run. Now, Logan's Run is a really good science fiction film.
Right, especially with Jenny Agutter. She was the best thing in the film, the female. They had problems with the script, and then I came in terms of script doctor to help punch some stuff up, but I also came in, the holography you see in the movie, I was working with a holography studio here in Los Angeles, and they brought in me and the people I referred them to, so I was involved with that. But they paid me a lot of money to do nothing, so who cares?
Hey, that's a great deal if you can get one.
Exactly.
Yeah, really. You should get workshops. I'll sign up.
Exactly.
I'm ready for that. Your background is incredible. You have been involved in parapsychology for so many years, but what attracted you to this field of study?
Well, then, two things. One is curiosity. I'm a very curious person, scientific curiosity. But the main thrust of what got me into this were my experiences growing up. Apparently, when I was growing up, I was having a lot of extraordinary experiences that my friends and family were not. Psychic, paranormal, precognitive, telepathic, clairvoyant. And I thought everyone had these sort of experiences. And I learned later, well, they may, but they're not aware of them, or they don't have them. And so I had to reach a conclusion early on, either I'm crazy, everyone else is crazy, or something extraordinary is going on. I chose the latter. An example. Right now, like, for example, when I was, like, in grammar school, I was with the fifth grade, you're 10 years old. I remember I was on the courtyard at recess playing some silly game. And this little girl named Christine is walking towards me, blue-eyed blonde girl. And I'm looking at her. And it came on. What I mean by came in, it's sort of like X-ray vision. I'm looking at her, and I suddenly see on her right side, there's a tube going into her body, and there's a plastic bag under her dress. And I went, what's that? So I went up to her, and I asked her, what's that weird plastic bag and tube in your body? And she freaked out and got the teacher, and they dragged me to the principal's office. Well, it turns out that Christine had a colostomy. I'm 10 years old. I didn't even know what the word meant. I have no idea. All I know is what I saw. The principal said, did you sneak in the girl's bathroom or did you look under her dress? I said, I did neither. It's like, you know, Superman. They go, like Superman? Well, I like x-ray vision, but it's in color. And he went, oh. And he thought I was lying or nuts. And I looked at him and I said, you've got that word appendix card that's always purple. And I said, I would call it a keloid. Now, then I didn't know the term. And he turned purple, and then he called my parents. And they said, what's going on? And he just said, don't ask. And so that's the type of thing that got me into this. It would happen to me all the time. Move forward about a decade, and I was still having these experiences. So I wrote Dr. Thelma Moss, UCLA. She had a laboratory in the Neuropsychiatric Institute. Wrote her a letter, nothing. Called her, never called back. I again wrote her another letter, never heard from her. So then one of her graduate students I met independently of her, and I went to meet Thelma in her home in Beverly Hills. This is in the spring of 1969, excuse me. And we were talking, and then she threw me her keys to psychometrize, which I could do then and now, and I'm holding the keys, and I describe some things, people and events and names, and I said, I see a fat blonde woman with blue eyes. She's really obnoxious, got a loud voice named Shelley. Well, Thelma's best friend was Shelley Winters, the actress, and that was an accurate, if unflattering, description of her at the time. And picked up some other things. So, okay, so Thelma did a study on me starting in the fall of 69, and which was published in the mid-70s in a medical journal as a study as a psychic. Okay, so you're a psychic. Great. Well, what is it? How does it work? Why does it work in you and not your friends or family? Why are you the one having these experiences? So, you know, once you're studied in a clinical environment and the study's published, there's still more questions generated because you still don't understand exactly what's going on, how or why. And I became Thelma's sort of psychic pet because I could turn this ability on in some respects. And it was a very interesting woman. She started her career out, believe it or not, as an actress. Her maiden name was Thelma Schnee, which is German for snow. And she met her husband named Paul, and she had two children, and then he died. He's a producer and an actor. In fact, he was one of the early Star Trek episodes.
I'll tell you what I'm going to ask about the Star Trek episode, because we all have to know about Star Trek. But first, we have Dr. Barry Taff joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure. In the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail each and every week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond the year. So I want to tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you could save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. That's PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit MoseyPro.com. That's MoseyPro.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Dr. Barry Taff, whose doctorate is in psychophysiology. And you were talking here about somebody who appeared on a Star Trek episode.
Right. He was a man by the name of Paul Moss. He was a producer and an actor, and he was in the episode called Conscience of the King. He played Kodos the Executioner.
Oh, yes. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, with Barbara, who was ended up being in the series with Raymond Burr, Ironside. She was in that episode. It was a very, well, a lot of the shows were great. Anyway, long story short, Thelma's husband died shortly thereafter. Thelma went back to school. Thelma started out as an actress and became a writer, and she wrote a movie called The Colossus of New York. It came out in the 50s, starring Otto Kruger and Ross Martin, which had a paranormal element to it, strangely enough. And then her husband died after they had two kids, and she went back to school and got her PhD and became a clinical psychologist, started doing research at UCLA, and I met her, and the rest is history. And so when I was in the lab, I was studied, but then I began doing my own research, and my research was in telepathy and precognition in the lab. I ended up developing what later became known as remote viewing, the protocols and methodologies for that, and we were visited by government group intelligence in military intelligence groups, CIA, NSA, DIA, ONI, DARPA, and we didn't do the work there because UCLA wouldn't put their name on the application. They didn't want to get involved. It was too politically sensitive. Even today, it would be politically sensitive, probably even more so. UCLA went up to Stanford Research Institute with Putoff and Targ, and Dr. Ed May ran the program, and Dr. General Stubblebine. But anyway, the work we did was interesting in the lab, but what really got me going was the work in the field. Since 1968, I've investigated over 4,500 cases of hauntings and poltergeists and doppelgangers and things like that. And most of them begin and end with one interview. You go out, you interview the person, and that's the end of it. The morbid analogy is like going to the airport with a camcorder and having to get a plane crashing. It happens, but it's very rare. The chance of people encountering phenomena when they're out in the field on a regular basis, the chance of winning the lottery three times in a row at the $100 million level. It just doesn't work like that.
Right, tell that to ghost hunters.
Exactly. Well, that's remember, if the paranormal reality shows followed, if they were stuck to reality, there'd be no show. I mean, think about this. You have a logistics problem. You're a producer on one of these shows. Something's got to happen. You can't have dead air for 40 to 43 minutes out of every hour. It just won't work. If you do, your ratings will be as remote as catching a ghost on video would. And so
it would be even more remote than remote viewing would be.
Right, right. You would have to either, you have to either fake it, which a lot of the shows do, they just lie, or you populate the show with really colorful, whacked out people who generated more interest than the ghost they're searching would, or the people that embellish and exaggerate what might occur, could occur, into making it appear more relevant than it is. And I wouldn't want to be producing these shows because, well, they approached me on the first shows. I've been approached by most of them, and I said, well, I'm not going to lie for you. Well, I go, no, I'm not lying. I mean, if you want me to lie, how many millions are you paying me and what house and car are you buying me? Oh, we're not going to pay you. What? So I'm going to go on lie, throw my career away for, well, you'll be on television. I said, when you people stop smoking whatever it is you're smoking and drinking, call me. You know, every year I get calls to the fact. I was asked to be on a show a couple weeks ago. It's on a network. I won't name the network. They're all garbage. They sent me a contract where they said they could libel me, slander me, defame me, discredit me, humiliate, embarrass, distort, misrepresent, and I can't do anything about it.
That's entertainment.
Yeah, I will say the company's name. It's Raw Entertainment or Raw TV. You know,
Raw definitely, but Raw something.
Yeah, Raw garbage. And I said to them, would you sign this? Well, they said, what's the problem with this contract? What's the problem with it? You people are insane. So they offered me for doing the show $750. I said, well, I thought for myself, well, if they put four zeros after that, I can consider it. I change my name and disappear. But that's I didn't do that.
But they also have enough people who would go on TV for nothing. Now, Chris has a story where he went on that UFO Hunters TV show. Mm-hmm. And they just destroyed what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. He's talking about strange events in one state, and they move him to another state.
Yeah, that's the reality genre. I mean, people, if people think these shows are real, they should wake up. These shows are carefully choreographed and scripted because their job is to entertain people that don't know any better.
That's true with all reality shows. That's the whole point.
Right, right. And so when this show wanted me to do their show, it's Paranormal Witness, I wouldn't sign the contract, nor would Jeff Wheatcraft. They wanted to work on the San Pedro case. And I just said, so let me get this straight. Even if the check you off gives me bounces, I can't sue you because it says I can't sue you for any reason at all. So if you breach the contract, I'm left in the, and you lie and claim I'm a drug addict or I'm an alcoholic or I'm out of my mind, there's nothing I can do. Well, yeah, that's right. I said, well, goodbye. And they kept bugging me. I said, no. We'll amend our agreement. And the executive, one of the producers got back to me, the supervising producer, we can't do that. I said, then I can't work with you. So they shot the show with my old colleague and Jackie Hernandez and other people, but Jeff Wheatcraft and I refused to participate for very obvious reasons. And I said, so you got a gun in my head. You pull the hammer back, you cock the hammer, and then you got your finger on the trigger. You want to sign? No, thank you. So, I mean, I told them I don't like what they're doing. I showed it to my agent and my manager. And they all went, what? Is this a joke? I said, no, it's very real. So let them do a show without me. I'm not going to. I was worried they would try to set me up because over the years I've said some pretty nasty things about the entire genre. And everyone knows pretty much what I'm referring to. And I think they'd love to get back at me. They'd somehow discredit me or defame me or lie about me on their show to make me look bad on their network.
Now, going back, though, to your career as a script doctor and technical advisor, those are older films. Do I take it then that nobody's asking you anymore?
No, it's correct. I haven't worked on a movie in a long, long time. Remember, the movies now are, I mean, let's still go Paranormal Activity. I saw the first one when it came out, not in the theater, I guess. A friend got a screener and I watched it. It almost put me to sleep. And last half of the third act, something happens. Okay, great. I met the producer of the movie last year and he said, what'd you think? I said, well, I was waiting for the attractive brunette to take her clothes off to go to bed, but she slept in her clothes, so it was really boring. And I said, it was very predictable, it was stupid. And I said, you know, it's like the Blair Witch.
Well, you know, they have this TV show that came on the ABC network called The River, which is produced by the same people who produce Paranormal Activity.
Of course.
It's got the same thing where you've got all this handheld camcorder kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was awful. I watched about a half hour of it, and I gave up. And I noticed the ratings were okay the first week, and then tanked.
They dropped. Yeah, well, I totally. Mean, it's unfortunately the demographic they're shooting for, 12 to 30, or not even that.
And well, I'd rather not insult people who are 12 to 30 because I have a 26-year-old son.
Right. It's the whole thing is pathetic. I watched Falling Skies, the first episode. I turned it off halfway through because it was so boring.
It was better, though. It was better.
I watched Terra Nova, the first episode. I was bored to tears. It was the same thing we've seen before. Nothing new. And I think they're just regurgitating a lot of old themes. Rather than try something new, let's try what's worked before with new faces. And someone's screaming, the camera's jumping around. And, it's just, when I grew up, I watched a lot of television. I mean, there was Twilight Zone, there was Outer Limits, there was Star Trek, there was Alfred Hitchcock Presents, there was Thriller. I mean, Playhouse 90 is a really great television for me. If I was a kid now, I'd be bored silly. I would be absolutely bored silly. It's horrible. The irony is we have all these channels and there's still nothing to watch for me. The History Channel, Discovery Channel is interesting. But most of the stuff the sitcoms I grew up with, I used to love All in the Family because it was provocative and it made us think about how messed up we are socially. I used to love Cheers and Seinfeld, but I don't watch a lot of television anymore because it's just boring.
Yeah,
I'd rather
too.
Watch paint peel.
Well, of course, what they've done is they've perfected the technology of making these films. And they get some pretty good performers. I mean, you have Oscar winners coming to TV to do segments, to do shows. Mm-hmm. But very few shows are worth watching. And I look at the sitcoms. You have the best sitcoms out there. And people are going to, send me nasty letters now. But I don't really care. But you look at these sitcoms these days, and they don't make you laugh. Where's the funny stuff? I mean, I could still look at I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
From 1950s and laugh, and I hear my wife laughing at the stuff, and then you watch one of these current sitcoms, and you watch 5 minutes of it, and you say, what's funny? What is the matter with these people? I'll tell you what's the matter. We have to talk to our benefactors. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit, delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics.
Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
BePrepared.com is making deals because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. Stay tuned for a free offer from BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. Now the sale items. Right now through February 29th, save 15% on canned bacon, 28% on a working with wheat combo, 28% on a one-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated food, and more, all at BePrepared.com. Plus, order $75 or more and get a free $25 gift card by using promo code Genesis35 at checkout at BePrepared.com. Limit one per customer. This sale ends February 29th. Call 800-222-9596 and experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-222-9596. Hurry, sale ends February 29th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast with Dr. Barry Taff, and he's had a storied career. I mean, incredible. Parapsychologist, worked on TV, script doctor, all that kind of stuff. Worked for the government, and I want to talk to you about this here. Mm-hmm. Your bio, and we have a lot of questions, by the way, from listeners, but
yeah.
Your bio says that you consulted for the government, business, and law enforcement. The government, Central Intelligence Agency?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a need-to-know answer or what?
Yeah, I can't talk about what I did, correct.
Okay.
I guess all I can say is the work I did for the government, for the intelligence community, dealt with what was called remote viewing. I can't discuss anything beyond that. Or I signed national security oaths with these groups, and I made the foolhardy statements when I was doing the 70s when I was at UCLA, and it almost came back to bite me because I was a little too open about what we were doing, and I got some very nasty responses, and thank God the Daily Berlin published some retractions, so they made errors in the article anyway. But most of what we did is classified. Most of what you're reading about, have read about in the books that have been published by the people that did the actual work, is very sanitized, and a lot of the really relevant information will never be declassified because of what it gets into, and that's what we came in. And all I can say is I work for these different groups and agencies, and I can't go into it beyond that.
Are they still doing it?
Yes and no. Yes, exploratory. No, in the sense that for all we think we've learned, we still don't know anything. There's more questions than answers. If it worked that well, the world would be a lot different because we'd be ahead of the curve. Meaning we'd know major events before they occurred, and we see that we haven't gotten there yet. There was a great deal of skepticism within the military and the intelligence community about this because a lot of they're very closed-minded people, and because there's no theory or model to explain its mechanisms or why it works, why it all too often fails, they didn't want to deal with it. There was a great deal of bias and prejudice against this, and a lot of the people who get into this area go nuts. They freak out. They have emotional problems coping with these abilities. It's sort of like waking up tomorrow being Superman or Superwoman, you know, and you've got these abilities and you're not able to control them. They pretty much happen, and you might be able to make some of them occur, but for the most part, they're spontaneous, and it can be very unnerving because you can't mediate what's coming into your head. It sometimes comes in when you don't even want it.
Well, I know we had an episode on remote viewing on the Paracast back 2006, 2007. I forget the name of the reviewer, the person who was doing the remote viewing. But we created a scenario with that person. And he did see something where he was supposed to view some specific location or object. And it was a pretty compelling demonstration. So obviously something is going on. But the question I've had through the years about remote viewing is it precise enough to be able to depend upon it with reliable information? And are you really seeing things that are happening then and there in another location? Are you looking into another dimension? What's going on? So many questions.
Well, I mean, yes, the information that comes out, some of the information that comes out of this process is extremely state-specific, names, dates, places, like you're there watching it with your own eyes and ears. A lot of times you can be precognitive, meaning before the events transpire, you're seeing them as if they did, if you're watching them in real time. And the problem is that even if you're able to see things before they occur, can you intervene? Can there be an interdiction at a military level? And from all the terrible things that have happened in the last 35 or 40 years in the world community, the terrible acts of violence and terror, the fact that we've never been able to intervene, for the most part, prevent these heinous acts, makes me wonder if anyone's paying attention to this or it's just a game. But I can tell you, matter of fact, that the amount of specificity that could be applied with this data acquisition method is extremely acute. When we were being visited by the intelligence groups in the early 70s at UCLA, the data we demonstrated, we demonstrated what we could do for them, and it kind of freaked them out. And what they were making audio tapes of what we were doing, and some of the data was so state specific in terms of that was some of the information that we provided to them based on the target they gave us was so state specific, so accurate and detailed that they wondered if their program was compromised in terms of its security.
I kind of wonder here, just trying to get appropriations for projects like that, they have to pretty well clothe it in something else. I mean, you can't go to Congress and say, okay, we're going to have $32 million for remote viewing. And they're going to say, what?
Well, remote viewing was a very poorly funded program from the get-go. There was not a lot of money spent on it. I mean, given the type of money spent on military projects, weapons projects, the money put into remote viewing was like pennies and nickels and dimes. Very low amount of money, and in the end, you still scratch your head, well, okay, how does it work, why does it work, and what is it telling us about the nature of space-time and consciousness? And no one wants to deal with it. I had someone on my show about a month and a half, 2 months ago, regarding remote viewing. I won't give his name. Everything was going well, very articulate, intelligent man, like when I interviewed Chris last week, very funny, smart, very good. And then I asked him about a couple of things, and he freaked because I realized I touched on something that's still classified. And he just changed the subject. I asked him another element. I wanted to the data processing of the acquisition suggests a holographic distribution of information, that everything's everywhere, that time and space, the information of time and space is equally distributed in all of time and space. Meaning the past information is still available, the future's information is already available, and distant information is available. This would be holographic, and he didn't want to deal with that, so he steered away. Okay.
So we're talking here about all these events are happening simultaneously.
No, not the events. The information related to them coexists, not the events.
Explain.
Okay. When you're watching a DVD, you're seeing the information stored in that medium. You're not seeing the movie when it was made. You're seeing the information related to what was shot with film or video. All we're doing is accessing information. We're not accessing the event. We're accessing the data related to it, the information. And information does not know bounds of space or time. Again, the past information is still available. The future's information is already available.
Does that imply then being preordained, that whatever is going to happen is already set down in stone somewhere, as if there's some gigantic computer that stores everything?
Yeah, there comes the rub. This is the problem. If the information that makes up space-time is equally distributed and accessible through consciousness at some level by our brains, our minds, then is the future already there? Do we in fact have free will? Is it deterministic? Is it fatalistic? You know, there's a great line, a film that altered my life when I was a kid, the original Time Machine from 1960.
Right.
A great line, Rod Taylor says.
That's the George Powell movie.
Yeah, right. The original
and
one
what was
Rod
it?
Taylor.
Alan Young, the guy from from
Mr. Ed,
played his Irish-speaking friend.
Mr. Fildy.
Yes.
There's a great line in the first act where they're talking and they see a demonstration of a little time machine and Sebastian Cabot's going on. Oh, the future's already there. It's irrevocable. It cannot be changed. And Rod Taylor turns as playing George, a close to the H.G. Wells, and says, you know, that's the most important question to which I hope to find an answer. Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come? And that is probably the most profound thing that deals with the human condition. Are we living out a drama in which we're actors in a play we can't alter? Or is there free will? Or is it the best of both worlds? And in my book, I get into this, not ad nauseum, but enough where I present a perspective where it is predestined to a certain degree. And another level, there is free will. At the level we're living at, consciously from day to day or unconsciously from day to day, there is free will because we don't know what we're going to do till we do it. At another level, at a more grandiose gestalt level, there may not be free will. It's like you're in a pool bouncing around, random Brownian motion of water molecules. Oh, looks fun. You pull back farther. Oh, it's not a pool. You're in a giant glass. The water must conform to the shape of the glass. It may be something like that. The perspective determines the reality. From our perspective, it all seems random. When we did some precognitive remote viewing at UCLA, and this is in my book, some of the results were so disturbing that a lot of our regulators walked away from the program. They couldn't deal with it because it painted a picture of the future of reality they didn't like. And
well,
this is the problem.
It's a reality you have to wonder about. I mean, if I knew what was going to happen next week, well, certainly we can either profit from it, we can either learn from it, we can cope with it. And then, of course, you have these movies which are fatalistic in the sense that someone tries to change the future. And no matter what they do, the future always ends up playing out the way it's expected to play out. This is going to play out. We have Dr. Barry Taff joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.